Good evening and welcome to tonight's debate among Republican candidates for Wyoming's lone seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. I'm Bob Beck, the news director of Wyoming Public Radio. Tonight's hour-long debate will be over questions from in-house and our listening audience. Each candidate will have 30 seconds to respond, and the person who is asked the initial question gets a 20-second rebuttal. Hopefully everyone understands that. And I'm now going to turn things over to representatives of ASUW for their introduction of the candidates.
Thank you, Bob. My name is Grant Rogers. I want to thank you all for coming here tonight. We'll be introducing all the candidates. Dr. Rex Rammel is a veterinarian from Gillette. In 2008, he was an Idaho candidate for the United States Senate, and in 2010, a candidate for governor. He is the author of the book, A Nation Divided, The War for America's Soul. Dr. Rammel considers himself a firebrand constitutional conservative who believes the answer to many of Wyoming's problems can be solved with the federal transfer of public lands.
My name is Joe Jackson. I am the chairman of the Wyoming Federation of College Republicans. Liz Cheney is a former official in the U.S. State Department, where she focused on policy in the Middle East. Ms. Cheney is a former Fox News contributor, the co-founder of an Alliance for a Strong America, the former chair of the organization Keep America Safe. She co-authored a book with Vice President Cheney on why the world needs a strong America. Ms. Cheney lives in Wilson, Wyoming with her family.
Hello, my name is Brian Schuler, and I've been honored to serve as the student body president for this year. Derek Farmer was born in Platte County in 1983 and hails from a family who's homesteaded here and have been in Wyoming for the past century. Mr. Farmer is a former college golfer and a 2500 award winner of the UW John P. Elbogen Entrepreneurship Competition. Mr. Farmer believes jobs are the biggest issue facing Wyoming today.
Jason Centeny is a Torrington native who joined the Marines in 1996 and transitioned from the Marine Corps to a job as a television photojournalist. Currently, Mr. Centeny is in Torrington, where he works as a corrections officer for the state of Wyoming, a volunteer firefighter, and serves on the Air Quality Small Business Compliance Advisory Panel. He ran for the U.S. House seat in 2014.
Tim Stubson is a Wyoming native who graduated from Cody High School. He's a Casper attorney who was elected to the Wyoming legislature in 2008 and was a member of the House leadership and served on the Appropriations Committee. Representative Stubson has also volunteered for a number of causes in central Wyoming.
Leland Christensen served for 15 years in the 19th Special Forces, Airborne Army, and the National Guard. He also worked in both the Teton County and Lincoln Sheriff's Departments. Christensen was twice elected to the Teton County Board of Commissioners and is currently serving his second term in the Wyoming Senate, where he is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Paul Padd is the Director of Safety and Personnel at PC Transport Inc. in Casper. He came to Wyoming from Michigan in 1984 and has been involved in small businesses. He ran for Natrona County Board of County Commissioners in 2014. He lobbied for rights of Wyoming citizens to carry concealed guns without a permit.
Rock Springs native Darren Smith has spent the last 11 years working for the Christian Broadcasting Network as a development executive. Mr. Smith is a former University of Wyoming wrestler and maintains a practice as a Cheyenne attorney. He's also active in volunteer causes.
Charlie Tyrrell owns a pizza business in Casper. Prior to that, he was a commercial pilot for 12 years, flying for both Wyoming Life Flight and the University of Wyoming. He also spent 15 years as a surface coal miner in the Powder River Basin. Charlie has held several appointed and elected positions in his career. Please join me in welcoming all of our candidates to the debate today. And with that, we'll send it back to Bob. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And for our listeners at home, we will try to remember to say the names of everyone who is speaking here tonight so you can score at home on what you like. And we thought we'll get started with a question for Darren Smith. Public lands are a national treasure. What's your view of the move to transfer federal lands to the states? And if you're in favor of that, what federal resources would you transfer and what would you propose to assure public access?
I'm over here, Bob. Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you for your time. My name is Darren Smith, and I'm running for Congress. That is a really great issue of our day, and I'll tell you what I think. I'm always for local control. The problem is we have to protect sportsmen. So I think if we are going to transfer public lands from the federal government back to the states, we have to make sure we have constitutional amendments to the Wyoming State Constitution that protect sportsmen and make sure that we don't just remove those lands.
Okay, thank you. Leland Christensen, 30 seconds.
Thank you, Bob. You know, public lands belong in public hands. I'm a multiple-use advocate. My time on public lands has been dear to our family. It's where some of our neatest experiences have been with our children, and I have had with my father. I think Wyoming deserves access, whether it's hunters, whether it's sportsmen, whether it's ag, or even the mineral industry. Public lands belong in public hands, and I'll fight for that every day.
Tim Stubbs in 30 seconds.
Thank you, Bob. It is an interesting issue, and I certainly think that Wyoming could do a much better job and be much more responsive to the people that live on the land by managing the land. But the key is how you do that. And I disagree with some of the proposals where we say, you know, as of a date certain, the lands will be magically transferred. And that's why I sponsored a bill in the Wyoming legislature to look at the costs of those transfers, the resources we would need to manage those lands so that we could have a thoughtful approach to public lands transfer.
Rex Rammel, 30 seconds.
Thank you. This is a signature issue of my campaign. I've been working on this for a decade. And I support the American Lands Council based out of Utah that also supports this. Senator Enzi and I had a good talk about this, and he is in agreement that the federal land transfer of public lands is a good thing. Him and I will work together, and I assure you this would be the biggest states' rights victory in United States history, and it's something that will change the face and the future of Wyoming.
Paul Padd, 30 seconds.
Thank you, Bob. I'm transferring the lands back there to the state. It's been said many times, or noted many times, about our Constitution, you know, when Wyoming became a state, gave up those rights permanently. So, yes, this is a fight that would be a fight. The LSO and Cheyenne said it's going to be a fight. Our own Attorney General said it's a fight we can't win. And if you're going to have a long, drawn-out fight, you can ask any of the 175 attorneys in the House of Representatives. It long means expensive. It's not a fight we should be fighting at this time.
Liz Cheney, 30 seconds.
Thanks, Bob. I do believe that we ought to transfer public lands back to the states, and I think that the key is public. We want to make sure that we maintain access. I think that you've got a number of groups, particularly radical environmentalists now, who are trying to make the claim that sportsmen would not have access if we transferred the lands to the states. But there's no question but that if you look at the way that the federal government across the board, whether you're talking about the BLM or other agencies, the Forest Service, the job that they're doing managing the public lands is abysmal. The states could do a much better job, and it's much more in keeping with the Constitution to return authority and ownership of those lands back to the state.
Charlie Tyrrell, 30 seconds.
Thank you, Bob, and I'd like to thank everybody for coming out tonight. Appreciate you all being here. Federal lands, bit by bit, they need to be brought back to the state under state control. We need to bring them back slowly so that we have the monies, the funds to have them for multi-use. I'm about recreation, and I'm about mineral resources as well. Thank you.
Jason Centney, 30 seconds.
The federal mismanagement of lands needs to stop. It needs to be turned back over to the states like the U.S. Constitution actually states. In Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, where they are not supposed to own anything other than 10 square miles of Washington, D.C. The land needs to remain in public hands. It needs to be managed by the states. There needs to be a provision in place that says if the state attempts to sell it to an individual, to a corporation, or to a foreign entity, that their rights are relinquished back to the federal government.
Derek Farmer, 30 seconds.
Our state cannot afford to manage these public lands. I am in favor of keeping public lands in public hands. And I'm the only one up here that wants to make a state constitutional amendment to keep it that way. It is that important to me to keep public land in public hands. Right now, our Constitution outlines exactly how it can be sold and where the money goes. We need a state constitutional amendment.
Darren Smith, you have 20 seconds.
Sure. I am for local control of public lands, and there's plenty of money to manage those resources because the feds get about $400 million a year off of those public lands that we could use in the state of Wyoming much more efficiently than are currently used by the federal government.
This next question is for Senator Leland Christensen, and what can you do congressionally to help lessen the blow of the economic results of the declining energy production?
That's a great question. As far as lessening the blow, I think that's where the legislative experience that we've had in Wyoming is going to make a difference. It's about working together with other congressmen and building those voting blocks. At the end of the day, you can fight, but you've got to be able to put together a voting block of like-minded people. And it's not just the mineral states, but people will be impacted by it with raising electricity rates and so forth. This is a battle that we cannot quit on.
Tim Stubson, 30 seconds.
You know, there's a lot of things you can talk about in this respect, and one being the rollback of overregulation. But I think one thing you also need to focus on is expanding markets. And the federal government could play a key role. And we've seen, actually, with liquefied natural gas, that just recently Congress stepped in to try to accelerate permitting of liquefied natural gas, which would expand our natural gas markets overseas. And that's just one example of what the federal government could do to help us expand the sales of our natural resources.
Rex Rammel.
Thank you. This is exactly why I believe that the transfer of the federal public lands is so important, because it puts the natural resources of Wyoming in Wyoming hands instead of the federal EPA, the BLM, Forest Service, and on and on and on. This will solve our problem. This is the only solution big enough. Thank you.
Paul Padd.
Thank you, Bob. Well, first thing we need to do, we need to work to start stabilizing our oil and coal prices, in particular the oil prices to start with. We can do that in a couple of ways. You know, tariffs have always mentioned and all that, but I'm not a big fan of tariffs, although I wouldn't rule it out. I would just as soon look at indexing, doing a market indexing on the allowable amount of imports, imported oil that we bring in. That way we can stabilize our prices by controlling the amount of imports. You know, good market, we can bring more in. Low market, we lower it.
Liz Cheney.
I've actually put out a very detailed plan in terms of what needs to be done at the federal level to begin to end the Obama war on coal. We've clearly got a market downturn, but in addition to that, you've got policies coming out of Washington that are aimed at killing fossil fuels across the board. And the list of things that Wyoming's next representative has to lead the effort to put in place include things like repealing the Clean Power Plan, repealing the mercury and air toxic standards, having a fundamental revolution in terms of regulation. Congress has got to take back control from unelected federal bureaucrats, has to sunset regulations that are on the books now, have to be in a position where we require that new regulations impose the kind of economic, or
time.
Do not impose an overwhelming economic cost. They're a very specific list of things.
Time.
CheneyForWyoming.com. You can see them on our website.
Time.
Thank you.
Charlie Tyrrell.
Thank you, Bob. To lessen the blow, what we need to do in Congress is educate, negotiate, agree as a party, and then gain support across the aisle. Right now on the West Coast, there are four LPG stations that were set up for export. They're now going to be for import. That's a good sign. We're taking gas in, or excuse me, sending gas out. Thank you, Bob.
Jason Centney.
We do need to export our natural resources. It's great for Wyoming, and it's good for the nation. It's good for our national security as well, because we'll be able to fund our military and actually give the military members pay raises that they deserve. I also believe in peeling back the EPA, turning them into an advisory agency instead of a regulatory agency, and turning those regulations back over to the Department of Environmental Quality. I think steps like this is a common sense approach to actually helping grow Wyoming and helping our budget.
Derek Farmer.
Look, when we talk about energy, I have educated half of the people up here on stage about it. They don't know. I've drilled for oil. I've drilled on BLM land. And it's disparaging to see and hear the things that they say without actually living the lifestyle. We have an option right now, and that is to embrace what's coming towards us. or to fight it. We had the warmest winter in the history of the United States, but all we hear about is how Obama killed coal. There's a lot of other things that are affecting our industry.
Darren Smith.
You know, Wyoming is in a unique position to lead the country in American energy independence. We have an abundance of natural gas and coal, and really, we right now, Wyoming should, from the state level on down, all the way to our school buses, everything should run on natural gas. And what we can do is, by forcing our government vehicles onto natural gas, what we'll do is increase consumption, and we'll lead the way. The nation right now, 9 million barrels of oil right now are used a day. From foreign sources, and if we would take the leadership, then we could actually free America from enemy oil.
Okay. Leland Christensen, 20 seconds.
You know, some of us have had the opportunity to already work on increasing local consumption of natural gas in Wyoming, a home product. And some of us have also had the opportunity, and I'll talk about just before, last year before we looked at this announcement on working with some neighbors to break the gridlock on the western seaports. We have options, and we've already been working on it.
Okay. All right, we move to Representative Tim Stubson, who gets this question. He's going to stay on the topic of energy, but change things around. How will you work to support alternative energy resources while maintaining stability and support for existing energy industries in Wyoming?
Well, I think one thing that you don't do is you don't close your eyes to our traditional sources of fuel and tilt all your policy in favor of renewables. And certainly renewables have their place, but they don't have a place to the detriment of all our other fuel sources, which is really the policy that we've seen this administration take and we've seen Congress take in the past. And so we certainly should leave a level playing field for those fuel sources, but we shouldn't favor them above our traditional sources.
Rex Rammel.
Thank you. I'm not opposed to alternative energy sources at all, but I do not believe the federal government should subsidize them. If they cannot compete on their own, then we should not have them. And that's a simple fact. This country runs on fossil fuels, traditional energy sources. It will be our mainstay for many years to come. We need to continue to fight for that, but also embrace alternative energy. But it must stand on its own.
Paul Patt.
Thank you, Bob. I also have nothing against alternative energy, but when you look at research always seems to come in a little late on that. Germany's given up their windmill farms because it costs more and uses more energy than what they actually get back out of it. You know, ethanol was the same way. It cost more energy to produce than they were getting back out of it. We really need to look at the a little more research and development before we get into this and start developing it. I don't mind alternative energy, but it has to be efficient, and so far we haven't hit that.
Liz Cheney.
We've obviously got to pursue an all-of-the-above energy strategy, but the job of Wyoming's next representative is going to be, in my view, to lead a national effort to be able to focus national attention on fossil fuels and on the fact that fossil fuels are a national treasure. Right now, if you look at the groups that are lined up against fossil fuels, they are extremely well-funded, they're well-organized, they've got a national coalition in place. We can win the war on coal, we can win the war on fossil fuels, but Wyoming's representative has to be somebody who can hit the ground running and lead the fight to do just that, and that's what I plan to do.
Charlie Tyrrell.
Thank you, Bob. I do support alternate energy. Those sources need to be brought into the total equation. I think it's time for a really strong national energy policy. Notice I didn't use the word comprehensive, because when you say comprehensive in Washington, nothing gets done. I don't mind seeing the occasional pump jack out in the prairie, but I get tired of looking at turbine after turbine after turbine. It's the old not in my backyard philosophy.
Jason Centney.
I think Charlie's a little bit right on that. I think they are eyesores. And they've come to find out that they don't actually store enough energy to run what coal currently runs. I think we need to stay traditional. We need to stay with a affordable resource, that is coal. I also believe in natural gas. I do believe there needs to be a little bit of diversification, but I think coal is about the most affordable currently.
Derek Farmer.
I guess I stand out and I'm alone on this. I actually like the look of those turbines. I like them because I know my children's future is being cared for. I understand that I'm not going to have the ocean creep up to my house. It's not going to flood me out. But this is a question for our children and our future generations. And all of these other candidates give it lip sync, and I'm tired of it.
Darren Smith.
You know, I sit on the board of a wind turbine company, and I can tell you that in my children's lifetime, wind turbine energy will not replace fossil fuels and what we need. Right now, like I said, we import about 9 million barrels of foreign oil a day to make up what we need. And to, for American energy to go independent, we're going to need fossil fuels. We're going to need coal, all hands on deck, coal, oil, and natural gas. We'll need natural gas gas stations all over the state. We can do that with highway funding, highway federal dollars. So I got to stop.
Thank you. Leland Christensen.
I too support the all of the above, but I'll tell you what I'd like to see is I'd like to see the focus and the excitement research on our fossil fuels that have been poured on to both wind and solar in the recent years. Can you imagine the progress we'd have at our doorstep with that same excitement? And I think that's our opportunity to be able to go to Washington and work with other congressmen to find that energy, to find that focus, to help provide America with affordable and reliable energy.
Tim Stubbs in 20 seconds.
You know, to see how the table's been tilted, it's interesting. You look at the environmental studies that were done on these large wind projects in southern Wyoming. They were done in a matter of months. You have drilling programs around the state that are in years eight and nine of doing those same environmental studies. The administration's unilaterally picking winners and losers.
Okay, Dr. Rex Ramel, you get the next question. Given the rise of ISIS, continued aggression of nations such as North Korea and Iran, increased assertion of influence by regional powers such as China and Russia, what specific experience do you have that makes you competent to deal with the current state of international affairs?
I'm as competent as anybody on these tables. The United States has been policing the world for years now, and in some ways I think provoking a lot of the hostility towards us. However, we can't turn our back on these countries that are threatening us with nuclear bombs. So my position is we have to be strong, we have to take out the terrorists, but then we need to pull back and stop provoking these countries.
Paul Padd.
Well, I guess my attribute in this would be hopefully a little more common sense than what we have in Washington right now. Basically, our security is number one for me. We have to secure our borders and everything here. We have to develop a strong economy, or we can't fight anyone anywhere. So my push on this would be towards developing a stronger economy here, and that way we can strengthen our military, refortify it where it should be, once again, be the most respected military.
Okay. Liz Cheney?
I've spent many years working both in the private sector and at the State Department on issues related to the U.S. and the Middle East. And I think it's very clear today that we face two streams of threat to our freedom. One comes from Washington, D.C. It comes from massive expansion of the federal government under President Obama. And at the same time that he's been doing that, he's completely ignored the threats that we face overseas. We have to take every step possible, whatever it takes, to defeat ISIS. They are an existential threat to the nation. And we've got to make sure that we do it in a way that keeps us safe in the future and prevents other terrorist organizations from establishing safe havens as well across the region.
Charlie Tyrrell.
Thank you, Bob. ISIS is a problem global, and we're all learning how they're doing, what they're doing, when they're doing it, and why they're doing it, and then they change. So I want to go to Washington and work as a team with Senator Barrasso, Senator Enzi. I visited with both of them. I've also talked with retiring Congressman Cynthia Lummis, and she's offered some insight and let me know about briefing books. So I'll take what I know and expand upon it.
Jason Setney.
As the only candidate up here with operational experience and seeing firsthand what's happened on the ground in some of these places, I look at the bureaucrats in Washington and think they've got it all wrong. This entire philosophy of regime change we've been doing for the last 50 years is ridiculous. And some people up here have been baptized in that type of philosophy, and they're just wrong. Unless somebody's an imminent threat to the United States, We don't need to bother them. We don't need nation building. We don't need these no-bid contracts where people get rich on the blood of Americans.
Dirk Farmer.
My experience is fairly limited with this. I like to listen to the CIA. I think the Central Intelligence Agency is somebody that we all should listen to, and we should understand the term blowback. Blowback is a term that was used to discuss the reason for the Muslim outrage that we have going on, for ISIS creation. And unless we understand what blowback is, we can never fight against it. So let's listen to the CIA. Let's get out of there.
Darren Smith.
I have traveled all over the world with my work, providing simple solutions like water wells to complex problems like abject poverty. And I can tell you that it is probably the greatest foreign policy error in the last 50 years to try and nation build. You cannot take an 8th century morality, give it a 21st century democracy, and expect it to work. What happens is the bad guys, they rise to the top, they get the weapons, and then you have 1.8 million displaced or murdered Christians in the Middle East like we have right now.
Leland Christensen.
When you look at the list of nations that you reeled off, interestingly enough, we actually support and fund and many of them with both dollars and military benefit, which just seems a little crazy. But what I've learned to appreciate is it takes military experience to understand how to best use the military, how to best work with them on the ground, and also after they return home as vets. It's going to take that kind of experience to be effective in this battle and win for the long term for Wyoming and for the U.S.
Tim Stubson.
When America leads, we are a safer nation. When the American military is the strongest military in the world, we are a safer world. And when we honor our commitments to our allies rather than equivocating and backpedaling, then we build allies that we can trust. And those are the foundations of a solid foreign policy and a solid military policy that will protect our nation.
Rex Bramel, 20 seconds.
Omar Sharif said, "We'll never make a democracy out of the Middle East." And he's right. And I hate to say this, but Liz Cheney has spent her life trying to make a democracy out of the Middle East. Blood and treasure, that is all we've spent over there. And if she goes back there, that's what we're going to get.
Okay, we have question number 5 now. Paul Padd will get it. Lots of conversation about balancing the federal budget. How would you go about doing that?
Well, boy, that's the $69 million question there, or I guess $19 trillion question. There's several things. We're not going to do it all in one fell swoop, obviously. Again, I go back to unless we create a stronger economy and build our economy up, and that's going to be the first step in doing it. We're going to have to do that by securing our borders and stopping the influx of foreign trade that's killing us. We have to have fair trade rather than free trade.
Liz Cheney.
I think you've got to, first of all, significantly reduce the size and the scope and the authority of the federal government itself. I think we need to look to the Constitution. We need to get back to a structure in which the federal government wasn't trying to do so much. Obviously, we've got to get spending under control. Congress has to take responsibility. What's happened now with the sequestration is because Congress didn't do its job, we've got these across-the-board arbitrary cuts in place that are hollowing out our Defense Department, for example, at precisely the moment that we need them. So we need massive regulatory reform. We need the Congress to step up and play a more responsible and assertive role. And we've got to reduce the size and the scope of the federal government.
Charlie Tyrrell.
Thank you, Bob. I agree with Liz. We do need to shrink the federal government. If you look at what the legislature puts together as law in a year, it's about 500 sheets of paper. But if you look at what the regulatory bodies put together, we're talking a couple of cases of regulations. That's not their job. If we use natural attrition to let people get out of the workforce and not replace them, and we implement Senator Enzi's penny plan with 1, 2, 3% cuts, I think we can get our hands around this national problem.
Jason Sentney.
Smart, sensible, fiscally responsible spending. We do need to cut spending, but we also need a different tax system. The current tax system sets up the top 1% for basically all these loopholes where they're not paying any taxes whatsoever. Many Fortune 500 companies don't pay any taxes whatsoever and receive subsidies. In going to a national sales tax and getting away from a federal income tax and eliminating the 74,000 pages of tax code, we go with a simpler system, and we will actually have the money to start revitalizing our infrastructure.
Derek Farmer.
This is a question that we've heard this answer over and over. We're going to cut the size of government. It doesn't work. These people go in there with these grandiose ideas, and it never works. We have to have an idea where people are actually ready to pay off the federal debt, and that's my generation. We're ready. We do not want this debt to pass on to our children, and we're going to do whatever it takes, whether that means raising taxes or cutting. We're going to do both. We have to go in there with a pragmatic idea to be able to get this national debt fixed.
Darren Smith.
We just have got to stop the federal corruption in our bureaucracies. Five of the six richest counties in the country surround Washington, D.C. Thomas Jefferson put it best. The problem with democracy is people figure out they can vote themselves a raise, and that's exactly what they do. Do you realize there are over 35,000 attorneys at the federal, the bureaucratic attorneys in Washington, D.C., and they have a better chance of dying on the job than they do of being fired for incompetence. We can start with at-will employment for federal employees, and I've got many more ideas.
Leland Christensen.
You know, balancing the federal budget, it's a good thing to talk about, but let's talk about some experience as a small business person. I learned early on you had to balance your budget. As a county commissioner, as a state legislator, we balanced our budgets. There were times that we had to make those cuts, and we had to be flexible. And that's what we're facing as a nation. We've got to make those adjustments. And when we make those adjustments, one of the things that's going to come out of that is we will get to shrink federal government. We'll get to return a lot of the duties back to the states that belong there and should have been taken care of at the state level.
Tim Stubson.
For the first 3 months of this year, I sat in a room in Cheyenne working on this very issue for the state, trying to figure out how, in constrained revenues, do we balance the budget. And we made hard choices, and we made hard cuts, and we did that because we have a constitutional requirement to do that. And that's the only way you get the federal government to move, is to have a constitutional requirement that they actually balance their budget. And that's why I moved and proposed a resolution in favor of the balanced budget amendment on the federal end over in Cheyenne this year.
Rex Ramel.
Thank you. If we just followed the United States Constitution, we would not be in this. We would not be in this predicament. Many of the expenditures that the federal government is doing right now are not defined powers in the Constitution. We have got to force them to stop taking powers away from the states. And if that means the states have to rise up against them, then I'm all for it.
Paul Patt.
Well, cutting spending and all that that sounds great, but until you actually start passing budgets like you're supposed to pass them, you're never going to know where you're going to be spending your money. I mean, we cannot continue to operate on 11th-hour omnibus bills that are way too expensive, or the continuing resolutions that they keep operating under. So we need to, first of all, start getting our budgets submitted and passed as the law requires.
Okay, our next question is for Liz Cheney. There are huge health disparities for minority populations, some Native American populations as well. What are your plans, if any, to combat them?
I think that everybody in this nation would be better off and well-served if we move first to repeal Obamacare. And then we need to talk about what we're going to replace it with. But Obamacare has not lived up to any of the promises that the president laid out, and the hardest-hitting parts of it are yet still to come because they've been postponed. So we need to be in a situation where people have choices. I think that particularly if you're a lower-income individual, being able to compete for who's going to sell you your health insurance, being able to compete across state lines is critically important. Being able to have a situation where you choose your doctor, where you're able to get the kind of care and services you need, not where the government is in the business of trying to provide you with those services and tell you what you can and can't have.
Charlie Tyrrell.
Thank you. Liz pretty well sums it up. We need to repeal Obamacare. That's a given. We need to go back to a system that was working, maybe not working well. Got to understand that health care is not a right in this country. It's a privilege. You work for it. You better yourself, you get better jobs, you get better benefits. And we all need to do that. That's the great thing about being here at the University of Wyoming today, is we're talking to people who are bettering themselves. And I thank you for that.
Jason Centney.
My first week in office, I'm going to introduce what's called the Healthcare Freedom Act. And on my website, centneyforwyoming.org, I spell out how basically we repeal the Obamacare mandate. We keep the good things, like covering your kid till you're 26 and not being able to deny people because of pre-existing conditions, but we form a national exchange, which is not mandatory to you, but it is mandatory for the health insurance providers to participate, and it lowers premiums in Wyoming, so you get the best bang for your buck. Thank you.
Derek Farmer.
Look, these other candidates, their ideas are simply a joke. We're talking about health care for the poor, and then they come out and say that they're going to make it affordable. The poor don't have money for your health insurance. It doesn't matter how much you put out there. We needed Medicaid expansion, and our two legislators that are up here today failed at expanding Medicaid. We cannot have a health plan that gets rid of health care for the poor. I'm opposed to the ideas of the ruling class.
Darren Smith.
This country is built on a spirit of competition. If you want to fix health care, then you need to open up competition. Right now in Wyoming, you have one health care provider that you can choose from. We need to open it up so that if a family wants to buy a health care plan in Florida, they can do so. And really, for the poor, let's give everybody a tax credit. It'd be a lot cheaper than Obamacare. Let's give folks a tax credit so they can go out and buy the insurance they want from the insurance provider they want. That's the American way. That's the free market way. And that's what we'll do when I get into Congress.
Leland Christensen.
You know, I think it's pretty clear that Obamacare has been a wreck. We've lost options. Costs have increased for the small number that have benefited. The vast majority have been penalized. We've got to come up with a different plan. We need to repeal Obamacare, replace it with a plan that's affordable, both for individuals and for businesses. Get out of the way and come up with a working solution. That's how we increase health care options and increase availability, especially in a state like Wyoming.
Tim Stubson.
The thing you don't do is pass the Medicaid expansion that was before us this last time, where if you make 139% of poverty, you lose $12,000 worth of benefits, but if you make a dollar less, 138% of poverty, you're fine. That's not a solution to help poor people. That's a solution to handicap people into a welfare system, and that's why we rejected it, because we know that that's not the way to get people the help they need, and instead looking to other reforms is a much better approach.
Rex Rammel.
Thank you. It's not the government's responsibility to take care of an individual's health insurance. I don't care how rich or poor they are. All we do is make them dependent on the system. We have got the government's role is to provide a fair playing field so that free market solutions can compete. That will solve the problem, and it will get a lot of these people that are made welfare a lifestyle back to working. They need to take care of themselves. That's what this country was built on, individual responsibility.
Paul Padd.
Well, the first thing we need to do is get back to an open market system, in my opinion. We need to get to a point where small business owners can join together in a consortium and buy as a larger group to lower their premium cost. They were never able to do that. We should be able to buy insurance and take it across state lines with us. As far as the insurance for the poor needs to be handled at the state level, not the federal level. We don't need to be getting into that. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Liz Cheney.
Obamacare is an example of the massive expansion of the federal government under this president, but it's also an example of the kind of thing that people are sick and tired of in Washington. And that's where our elected representatives pass legislation that we all have to live under, and then they exempt themselves from it. And in this case, you had Republicans and Democrats in the U.S. Congress claim that the Congress has fewer than 50 employees, so they don't have to live under Obamacare. That's wrong. It's not a partisan issue, but it's exactly the kind of thing that have people very frustrated, rightly, with how Washington's been operating today.
This is a question for Charlie Tyrrell. Some of the questions, we're trying to take some of the opinion out of him. Let's see. What
Good
is
luck
going-
with that, Bob.
That'd be a first try.
What is going to be your response to counter the EPA in regards to the waters of the U.S. that put undue burden on Wyoming ranchers to meet new regulations?
The waters of the U.S., WOTUS as I call it, it's almost a joke in what they're trying to do. It's more government overreach into our lifestyles, into our property. Great example of this is I've got a place 500 feet above the river valley. I've never seen a flood up there. But there was a major storm a couple of years ago, and a little drainage 200 feet below me filled. If the EPA had its way, they would control that piece of waterway that's not a waterway.
Jason Centney.
Well, as a congressman, Congress controls the purse strings. They can tell this bureaucracy and the EPA what to do. They can control spending. So basically, my solution is downsizing the EPA by 75%, turning them into an advisory agency, make the regulations go back to the states, the Wyoming Department of Environmental Quality, and we can regulate it at the state level. We do a much better job at the state level, and we know what's going on in Wyoming.
Derek Farmer.
This is an issue that the Supreme Court asked for clarity on, and that's exactly what the administration did. And many people leave out the fact that the Army Corps of Engineers also created WOTUS. And I respect the Army Corps of Engineers for their work and their flood zones that they create. If we want to talk about damage to the family, the ranching family, we should talk about the Federal Reserve and the crash in cattle prices that have seen their largest drop in the history of the market. Thank you.
Darren Smith.
The idea that the EPA can regulate every river, stream, and ditch with water in it in this country is absurd. That's the power that would have to be given to them by Congress. I'll support a movement that would require that every federal agency every regulation that infringes on more than $10 million in property or affects somebody's constitutional rights has to be approved by Congress, and that'll fix that act or that plan.
Leland Christensen.
I'll fight to rein in the EPA. EPA and Waters of the U.S. are prime examples of overreach and doing business where they shouldn't be. We see this grab at Wyoming's water and control of the water. Some of the earliest battles in Wyoming were fought over water, and here we have the federal government coming back around using their might against Wyoming. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's fair. And I'll be there to fight for Wyoming against these types and these specific examples every day, fighting for your people and your kids and agriculture.
Tim Stepson.
It's a great object lesson in how the EPA works. You have the Supreme Court that comes out and says you cannot regulate puddles under the Clean Water Act. And so you have these rules by the EPA, and they say we're not regulating puddles, but we are regulating depressions that may fill with water. And that's an agency that demonstrates a total disregard for the rule of law and instead is really concerned about their own power. And that's why we have to address the EPA.
Rex Rammel.
The EPA is destroying this country, and particularly the West. The way to beat them is to deny them jurisdiction. And the way to do that is to get title to our lands. This will solve the problem of the EPA and the other federal bureaucracies that are ruining our lives. They're controlling our coal. They're taking our water. They want our timber. They put wolves in on us. It's one thing after another, and we have to start playing on our ground, not in federal court.
Paul Padd.
Well, the first thing you need to do in Congress is to continue the Title I movement to bring the legislative powers back to Congress that granted them in the very first paragraph of our Constitution. The EPA and these regulatory authorities were never granted and never should be granted the authority to actually legislate, and that's what they're doing. And it's more specifically for Wyoming under the Waters Act. I had mentioned earlier that the Wyoming Constitution had given up rights to the land. They've also, what they did in the Constitution, Wyoming Constitution, was retained ownership of all waters within our borders. So there's a fight we can go that direction as well.
Okay, time. Liz Cheney.
You know, Waters of the United States, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, these are all examples that are now being used by the EPA in a way that certainly was never intended in our Constitution and isn't provided for in our Constitution, where you've got unelected bureaucrats who are imposing totally arbitrary and ruinous fines in some instances, penalties in others, on people that are trying to earn a living. We've got to be able to bring a national attention and focus to this issue so that we can mobilize people on a national basis to understand that it's not just our livelihoods in Wyoming at issue here. It's fundamentally our constitutional rights all across this nation.
Charlie Tyrrell.
I would like to thank Richard Milhouse Nixon for in 1973 giving us the EPA, done by executive order, I might add. But then he did get Senate ratification. But he's rolling over in his grave if he understands what they're trying to do now. It's supposed to be about clean air, clean water, not overreach.
I think this is our last question tonight. Jason Sentney gets it. What changes or reforms do you propose for Social Security?
Well, Social Security would still be solvent today. There's $2.7 trillion that have basically been stolen by the federal government and applied to other things. To me, that's misappropriation of funds, but nobody's going to charge the federal government with that. What we need to do is change the tax system, replace that $2.7 trillion, and get everybody contributing again, get more people back to work. That's more money to Social Security, that's more money to Medicare, and that's more money going to the government so we can fix these programs.
Derek Farmer.
Mr. Sintony is correct. The theft that's gone on has been to the detriment of Social Security. I believe that we have a great model out there, and we just need to look to the railroad. Everybody out there that works for the railroad has fought for their retirement plan. And we should use Social Security, we should use the railroad retirement plan as a model for Social Security.
Darren Smith.
You paid into Social Security and you should absolutely get it. And the money is there for you to receive that. Really the key to what needs to happen in Washington is with Congress, the congressional members, we need to remove their federal pension plans, because what that would do is that would require them to just get Social Security, and it would incentivize them being more concerned about Social Security. It's a simple solution to a complex problem. Put Congress strictly on Social Security, remove the federal pension plan, which the average congressperson has over $1 million net worth, and that would be a great start.
Leland Christensen.
You know, we know that Social Security is soon going to go bankrupt if we don't do something soon. I believe that the people who have been paying into it and are collecting or near collecting, they've honored their term of the contract and they need to be kept whole. As far as the younger generations, they are living longer than originally planned with the Social Security issue. And so we're going to have to make some adjustment. It doesn't need to be radical, but it needs to be done. And we need to make those adjustments now for the people who are going to be looking at Social Security in 20, 30, 40 years, so that it's there for them when they're ready.
Tim Stepson.
I think that point of making the adjustments now is a key one, because the longer we delay, the more we harm future beneficiaries under the system. And it is clear. We owe an obligation to those collecting under Social Security or about to collect that they should get exactly what they bargained for. But younger generations, we can raise that age in which people are eligible for Social Security for those younger folks. And if we do it early enough, there's still time and hope for protecting the system.
Rex Rammel.
Everyone that's paid into Social Security should get their benefits. That's not questionable in my mind. But as we move forward, we've got to address the fact that it has never been a good idea. I mean, it's helped some people, but it is putting the country in a state where we will be bankrupt. The founders would never have said one of our duties is to provide retirement for the people. We've got to move into privatizing Social Security. We've got to make adjustments, or we won't have any choice. It will be done.
Paul Pett.
Well, the first thing we need to do is put a lock on that fund, you know, to where we're not getting it raided every time you turn around. I think what we can do, we can look at some different options. We can start looking at the option or giving the younger folks an option that takes a portion of their Social Security payment and putting it into the markets rather than just strictly with the government at their option. We can also do a means testing. That might be something to look at to try to save on that. I know everybody's paid into it, but you know, some means testing might save us some money on that. There's several options we can look at, but there's no one golden solution.
Liz Cheney.
I think it's critically important that we remember that Social Security is money that people have paid into the system. It's our money. And folks who are retired now and are drawing on those checks, people who are near retirement and who've counted on it, they have to be able to count on it. And we've got to be able to convince it, to guarantee them that they will be able to count on it. But for people who are younger than that, it's absolutely clear. Folks who are at the university, they're not going to be able to count on it. And so we have to have a system in place where they're able to take advantage of things like savings accounts, where we're looking at a whole range of reforms that will enable them to have the kind of, frankly, economic growth and job opportunity through the other kinds of reforms we need so that their retirement will be secure as we
Time.
Do Social Security.
Charlie Terrell.
Thank you. Social Security, as we all know, was developed a long, long time ago when life expectancy was a lot shorter than it is now. Therefore, I think what we need to do is keep working on raising the retirement age for Social Security so that the funds can collect for you. Al Simpson's going to smile, but yeah, maybe we do need means testing. I mean, if you've done really well in life, maybe you should let somebody else have it. I'm 65. I hope Social Security lasts at least another couple of weeks in case I decide to retire.
Jason Setney.
Well, as an Eisenhower Republican, I believe in social safety nets. And I don't think raising the age is the answer, but I do believe in raising the cap from $250,000 up to $1 million. You pay into Social Security on your first $1 million in income. I think that'll make the system more solvent, and I believe it'll help people across this country actually stay on their feet and live into their golden years.
My apologies to Derek Farmer, not getting him a question. I can hear the screaming from the radio station. You have to get out real soon. So we're going to do this, and we're going to move to our closing statements. Our candidates drew what order they wanted to get, and I think Paul Padd, following up on the NFL draft, got the first-round draft pick here. So candidates will get 60 seconds each, and Paul, you get us started.
Thank you, and thanks everybody for showing up tonight. Now more than ever, what Wyoming needs, or what Wyoming deserves, is a representative that's a strong leader and a proven fighter. Someone that'll stand up and fight for Wyoming jobs, support Wyoming families, and defend our liberties, freedoms, and ethics that are the cornerstone of Wyoming values. I am that fighter. I am that person. I ask for your vote for that reason. For over 15 years, I've been working for fighting for liberties and freedoms at the local levels, at the city, the county, and even at the state as a lobbyist. So when you go to make your choice, I ask you to ask yourself, if someone hasn't been willing to step up and fight for you at the local level, are you really sure they're going to be able to fight for you or willing to fight for you in Washington? The House Representatives is known as the People's House, so with your support on August 16th, we can take the first step to putting the people's voice back in the people's house. Thank you.
Tim Stubson, you're up next, 60 seconds.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak to Wyoming voters tonight. The fact is that Washington is broken, and Congress has failed the American people. We know that if you look at Congress and how they spend their time, it's really become more of a political fundraising machine than anything else. And if you think Washington is working well, then I think it's a logical decision to send somebody that's made their whole career within the Washington bureaucracy, like Liz Cheney. But if you think that your voice is not heard, if you think it's time to fundamentally change the way that our government works, then it's time to send somebody from Wyoming, somebody that knows Wyoming's people, somebody that knows Wyoming's issue, and somebody that has a proven record for fighting for Wyoming. And that's why I'm asking you to vote for Tim Stubson for U.S. Congress on August 16th. Thank you.
Jason Setney, you're up next.
Growing up in Wyoming, you really begin to understand that it's just one big community. We might have 100,000 square miles of land, but most of us know each other, or at least through proxy. The reason I ran for Congress in 2014 is the same reason I'm running now. I have two daughters. I don't know what's in store for them in their future. And I look at Washington and the bureaucracy that's been going on for the last 50 years, and I look at what's going on at the state level and some of the decisions that were made and passed and found unconstitutional, like SF-104, it's ridiculous. Some of these candidates have proven themselves not to be good leaders. I think we truly need somebody who's going to fight for you, somebody who's studied politics and the Constitution for the last 20 years. And why send in somebody who's status quo when you can send in a Marine that's going to let her buck?
Liz Cheney.
Thank you, Bob. I'm a fourth-generation Wyomingite, and Phil and I are blessed and honored to be raising the fifth generation right here. When my relatives came here first in 1907, they were among the folks who came because they cared deeply about freedom, because they understood what it meant to live in a place that self-determination was honored, that grit and courage meant something. And it is precisely those freedoms that are under attack today. No state has been hurt more by the last 7.5 years than has Wyoming. Whether you're talking about the EPA issues we've been discussing, the BLM, whether you're talking about Obamacare, the IRS targeting of conservatives, the failure of this president to enforce immigration laws, Common Corps, across the board, we have seen a complete diminishment of our freedoms and our constitutional rights. Wyoming needs a representative who will be able to go to Washington and who will, on day one, hit the ground running. We don't have time on our side. We've got to have somebody who can build a national coalition, who can bring national attention and focus to these issues. I am that person. I welcome the opportunity to be here tonight, and I'm asking for your vote, for your support on August 16th. Thank you very much.
Rex Rammel, you're up next.
Liz, you need to stop feeding us a line that you're a fourth-generation Wyoming person. Everybody in Wyoming knows that you've spent 30 years in Virginia. You can stop with that line trying to convince us that you know anything about Wyoming.
Rex, when this exactly
is this is more Wyoming? This is more about wait, what wait, Wyoming Rex, can do for Liz Cheney than what she can do for Wyoming. I guarantee you.
When and did I've you come listen, to Wyoming, Rex?
I have been listening to
was
you
last
for
year?
I've been listening to you for 4 months. Tell us that you're trying to convince us that you're from Wyoming.
You haven't learned much.
You got to quit with the lies, Liz. You are pure establishment. You have been all your life, and it needs to stop. And I hope that Wyoming is smart enough not to sell their vote and this seat to a person from Virginia. My name is Rex Rammel. My name is Rex Rammel. And I am a serious constitutional conservative. And if you don't believe that, you need to look at my website. Quit selling yourself out to the Cheney famous name.
Time. Quiet, please. Quiet, please. Darren Smith.
Hey, well, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, right? So let's don't send the same types of people back, the same political class types of people, or the same professional can-kicker types of people. Let's export Wyoming values to Washington. And I'll tell you right now that I ride for the Wyoming brand. I am a fourth-generation Wyomingite, by the way. That's a pretty popular thing to say. But my Wyoming values are this. I am pro-God, pro-family, pro-business, pro-gun, pro-oil and gas, pro-coal, pro-agriculture, and pro-veteran. I am for upholding the Constitution and all of the constitutional rights that are guaranteed us that our federal government is encroaching upon. Listen, I am an expert in taking simple solutions to combat complex problems. We have a lot of complex problems in Washington, but I'm your guy. Send a winner to Washington. Send a world changer to Washington. Send Mr. Smith to Washington. Go to MrSmithGoesToWashington.com. Check out my website and vote for Mr. Smith Goes to Washington on August 16th. Thank you for your time.
Quiet. Leland Christensen.
Thanks for joining us tonight, folks that are here and out in Radio Land. It's been a good evening. But let's go back and look at the beginning of America. This whole debate was whether or not we were even going to have a national government. And the only reason it came about was because there was an agreement that the federal government should have enumerated powers and that those powers would be very limited. And in order to succeed, we have got to honor the founders' vision. Now, as for me, my roots are deep in Wyoming. I'm agriculture, I'm small business, I'm a lawman, elected as a county official and a state senator. If you'll honor me with your support, I'll commit that I'll serve you with all my heart in making Wyoming a better place and protecting our future. I'll remain all Wyoming all the time. My name is Leland Christensen, and I'm asking for your support and your vote. Thank you.
Charlie Tyrrell.
I've only been in Wyoming, let's see, I don't have any other generations here, but I've been in Wyoming 39 years, so I think that's a qualifier to be able to represent my state at my country level. I'm a successful business owner. I've had a Charlie T's Pizzeria in Casper for 10 years. I want to take that successful small business experience to D.C. and help our team from Wyoming run it more like a business than the country that's going broke. I also have a couple of kids, a stepdaughter and a step-granddaughter, ages 34 and 13. And I got to grow up in a free and prosperous nation, and so should Zoe. And what's good for Zoe is good for everybody in Wyoming. And when we elect a new Republican president, the first thing I'm going to help him do is repeal Obamacare. And there's one more thing you need to know about Obamacare, and I love to tell this one, is that we have a pizza called the Nancy Pelosi, and you have to order it to find out what's in it.
Thank
thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having us all, Bob. Wonderful job.
Who knew that closing arguments would be so so much fun, I guess. Great
well,
discussion.
Well, we went from arguing to fun, so that might have been sensible.
Derek Farmer, you have 60 seconds.
Look, you've got a lot of the same options up here, and I'm going to tell you straightforward why I'm different. I believe you cannot make laws and make things illegal to keep them from happening. I am pro-choice. I support a woman's choice. I'm also pro-guns. I'm pro-public lands in public hands. And I'm anti-CEO bonuses from the coal mines. There are not any candidates that I know of that are concerned about the bonuses that are being paid out while we're getting rid of pensions for our workers. We need to elect somebody who knows what the lifestyle of somebody living paycheck to paycheck is like. That's why these people don't care about what happens to the poor or to their health care, and why they say they can afford the premiums if they make them cheaper. They have no idea. It's time to elect somebody who understands us and someone who lives paycheck to paycheck like I do. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us and listening to our debate of the Republican candidates for the U.S. House of Representatives. This debate will be archived on our website later this week at WyomingPublicMedia.org. I'd like to thank ASUW, campus, and state Republican leaders for helping us with this debate. And you're listening to Wyoming Public Radio.